Good morning. Thank you for being here today. I am again Rachel Welch. I'm a master's student at the University of Illinois, and my advisor is Dr. Maria Villamil, and I'll be talking to you about my master's project, which is on improving weed suppression with cover crops and organic grain production. So a little bit of background. I'm sure many of you already know this. Often, especially in Illinois, we heavily rely on tillage in our organic grain systems to control weeds. But there can be some negative impacts of this tillage. We can have accelerated soil organic matter decomposition, weakened soil structure, and this can often lead to compaction. In these compacted areas, this can favor weed competition with your cash crop, and then you'll have a need for more tillage. So we kind of see this cycle, if I can get my pointer to work, of with more weeds, we need more tillage. With more tillage, we need more. We see more compaction, which can lead to higher weed populations in our field. So, of course, many people have been looking into cover crops as a solution to not only weed suppression, but also to soil compaction. In Illinois, our growing time in organic grain systems is often from September to as early as April for when that cover crop can grow. That's just greatly dependent on when you can get your grain crop out and when you'll be planting your next grain crop. So in Illinois, there is a little limited amount of time before that winter frost for those cover crops to grow. And then in the spring, if you have an overwintering cover crop, you might have some more time for that cover crop to grow. So there's some considerations in the Midwest. There has been a lot of research in cover crops, especially in conventional systems, and they have been shown to suppress weed populations and have some variable effects on corn and soybean yields. I think, I don't know if you're familiar with the Miguez and Bolero meta-analysis. They were looking at corn yields in the U.S. and Canada and seeing the overall effect of cover crops on corn yields. They found legumes and bicultures to greatly increase corn yields, but when we divided this by region, so looking at that in the different sections and where the north central area, where the Midwest would be, the effect wasn't as clear of those corn yields. It was no longer significant. So that kind of hints at where you are location-wise, your climate conditions, your environmental conditions can greatly affect the potential of those cover crops. There has been a lot of research in organic systems looking, and we have found that there is weed suppression in organic, but again, there's been not as much research in the Midwest looking at organic grain. So that was kind of the premise for our research, seeing how these cover crops can, how they affect these organic grain systems in Illinois. So our hypothesis was that cover crops can break this negative cycle of tillage compaction and weeds by alleviating soil compaction and suppressing weed populations in the Midwest in organic grain. And our objective was to identify the best cover cropping practices that could do this, that could improve alleviate your soil compaction, improve your nutrient cycling, and also suppress your weeds. And the University of Illinois is still working to get some certified organic land. So we actually did an on-farm research. We partnered with Illinois Organic Farmers, and this was not only kind of for our benefit since we needed that land to kind of look at this, but also to help work with them to improve the knowledge and skill set on cover crops in Illinois. So we worked with three organic farmers in Illinois, and they were actually involved in the planning of this project. They specified weed suppression and soil compaction as two major concerns of them, on their farms. They actually identified areas of their farm that they felt were compacted, and that was the sites that we used for our study. And this was later on verified with penetration resistance and bulk density to confirm that that compaction was there. And I'll be showing a little bit of that later. Additionally, they helped select the cover crops in our study. They were very interested in forage radish, and so we looked at forage radish alone and forage radish in mixtures. Additionally, they were a great help in the field. They let us use their tractors for our probe and also helped us conduct that field sampling. We did soil sampling and vegetative sampling. And at the end of the project, I had the great opportunity to sit down with the farmers and talk about their experience with the project, not only see what feedback they had for us or what they were interested in the future, but also get some land histories from them and understand their production as a whole. So for our experimental design, we had two replications at each of the four sites. This was over 2 years. So this yellow star here is where the University of Illinois is. And we had one site up north in Malta, one in Cerro Gordo, just west of the university. And then we had two sites in Pena, just south of Cerro Gordo. And those study sites were just about a mile apart from each other on the same farm. This was a split plot design, with the main plot being the compacted versus the non-compacted areas. Again, this was a farmer-defined treatment, so they defined the compacted areas. These were often in areas of corners of fields where they maybe had stockpiled manure in the past, or also where end rows were, where they just had a lot of heavy machinery traffic. And then non-compacted areas were also farmer-defined, where usually the center of a field a little bit farther away from that high traffic. Our subplots were the different cover crop treatments. We had a fallow as our control, forage radish alone, forage radish with buckwheat, and then forage radish with hairy vetch and rye. And these were defined by the farmers. And one thing to note about these cover crop treatments, the only treatment we had that did have overwintering species was that last rotation, was that forage radish, hairy vetch, and rye. So that was the only one that had that hairy vetch that could overwinter to spring and have some spring growth. This started in fall 2011 and ended in fall 2013. Each fall we planted the cover crop, and then in spring 2012 we had soybean, and in fall spring 2013 we had corn. So we did soil sampling on this project, but just due to time, I won't be able to present that. But if you have any questions about the soil sampling that we did or what results we have, that's all complete. Feel free to talk to me after the session. But today I'll just be presenting some of the vegetation components. So we looked at weed counts and weed biomass, and we did this three times. Once in spring, prior to the corn and soybean planting, and also prior to cultivation, our farmers, their common practice is to till, and they do till fairly heavily. And then we also did weed counts and biomass twice during the summer, and this was coordinated with the farmer to occur before in-row cultivation, so that way we could see some weed growth and see if there was a long-term effect of those cover crops throughout the growing season. Additionally, we looked at the cover crop growth. We looked at fall counts and spring biomass, and we also looked at our cash crop growth, looking at stand counts and also the yields. Today I'll just be presenting on the weeds and the cash crop yields. This was analyzed in SAS with proxglimics, and this was analyzed by the each separate sampling times. So now onto my results. I'll be showing a little bit of the soil data just to give you a reference for that compaction that we saw, and then onto the weeds and the cash crop that we looked at. So looking at fall bulk density, in fall we have no cover crop treatments when we took this data. This is kind of just to give you a characterization of what compaction we saw. We did see the main effect of compaction to be significant. And you can see the CP is that compacted area, that solid line, and NCP is non-compacted. And you can see at most depths that that bulk density, the ratio of airspace to particle space, is greater in the compacted area. So what the farmers saw in the field, we were able to verify with bulk density that the compaction was there. But another one thing to note about the great soils of Illinois is that we have really high, this is on mollisols, high organic matter, high clay content. So over winter, there's a shrink and swell effect. So the compaction that we may see is not as severe because that often loosens over winter due to that self-mulching effect. So you can see with this bulk density max line, this we found with Proctor testing. This is determining the maximum compactability of a soil. And we found that to be about 1.55. And so the compaction we saw in the field was nowhere near the maximum it could be. Additionally, the theoretical maximum high bulk density that would limit your plant growth, is about 1.6, 1.7. So we're not seeing severe compaction. The compaction is there. It's relative, but it's not something, it's not the worst, and it's also not plant limiting. So that's kind of what set up for our results. We didn't see an effect of compaction on weed counts. We did see an effect of the cover crop, though. So looking at spring, summer one, and summer two, spring, again, was before that planting and cultivation. In 2012, it was about April, June, and August was the three dates. In 2013 was May, June, July for spring, summer one, and summer two, respectively. And we did see that forage radish, hairy vetch, and rye, that one rotation that does overwinter, did reduce our weed counts by, I believe, about 30%. in comparison to the control, and that control is that gray bar. When we looked at the forage radish and buckwheat, they actually increased the number of weeds in the field in comparison to the control. So we can see from this that the overwintering rotation has an ability to suppress weed populations, and so that's a great benefit to the farmer. When we looked at summer, the next two summer sampling times, we didn't see any significant differences. At this point, the weed counts are so low from that cultivation that there really isn't too much of a differences between the different plots. So the weed suppression we do see is just in spring before planting. When we look at the spring weed biomass, we see the similar results. We had an interaction of compaction and cover crop, but we only see reduced cover crop or spring weed growth, excuse me, in that forage radish, hairy vetch, and rye rotation here. We can see both in the compacted and non-compacted areas, that CP and NCP, the cover or the weed growth was reduced. There was a slightly reduced, even more slightly reduced growth in the non-compacted areas, but this was not statistically significant. Looking at our soybean and corn yields, this is presented in kilograms per hectare. If you want a quick reference on how that converts to bushels per acre, it's here on the bottom. So about 2,000 kilograms per hectare is about 30 bushels per acre of soybean. 10,000 kilograms per hectare is about 160 bushels per acre of corn. So the average yields for these farmers, and when I sat down with them and I got their five-year averages, is about 45 bushels per acre for soybeans and about 160 bushels per acre of corn. In 2013, we did see that for corn, they averaged about 160 bushels per acre, and we did not see an effect of compaction or an effect of cover crop on that corn yield. But in 2012, we did see an interaction of the compaction and the cover crop. So one thing to note about 2012, I'm sure I don't need to bring it up again, but it was drought conditions, and so we did not have much rain fall in 2012, and we believe that was a great reason why we saw reduced yields in the forage radish NCP. So the non-compacted areas was where we saw the different, we saw an effective cover crop, and we see that this forage radish, hairy vetch, and rye actually reduced our soybean yields. And we think this is greatly attributed to the water resources. That forage radish, hairy vetch, and rye is probably competing with our cash crop and maybe limiting the amount of potential growth that soybean has. So in summary, compaction did not significantly affect our weed, corn, or soybean growth, but it actually may have had a positive effect to that one rotation in soybeans in dry years. When you've had more compaction, you have smaller pore space and a higher capillary hold of water, and it may have actually helped that soybean grow in those dry conditions. We did see the compaction, but it was not damaging, so that may be reasons why we did not see a great effect on our weeds and our corn. Cover crop-wise, we did see that overwintering rotation to reduce the number and biomass of weeds, but we did see that there was lower weeds in that rotation than non-compacted areas. And that was attributed to the dry conditions that year. And we did not see effect of cover crops on corn yields. So just in conclusion, cover crops are a great tool for weed suppression for organic farmers in Illinois and grain production. But in harsh conditions, there may be some trade-offs to be considered for your cash crop potential. I know Dr. Villamil is involved with a lot more research to see how these long-term effects of cover crops, how they affect compaction and how they affect the cash crop yields in variable weather conditions. So I have many people to acknowledge, and it looks like I'm getting short on time, so just the Ceres Trust paid for this and my fellowships and all the people great that were involved. And thank you for listening. Is there any questions, if there's time? Yes. Microphone, yes.
Were your results, I think those were averaged between all of the farms, were they about the same on each farm?
Well, we ran the farms as random in our stats to kind of see an overall effect on Illinois. So that, with that stat, I believe it was a consistent result across all farms. All the farms were fairly similar as well, all mollisols. Just that one little difference in Illinois might have changed the amount of temperature difference, but probably not by much. Thank you.